This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, June 11th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Shutdowns around the world have led more shoppers to take their carts digital. And even the biggest e-commerce platforms like Walmart and Amazon have been struggling to keep up. But what about the little guys? On today's show, our reporter Sebastian Herrera looks at one startup that's been trying to stay afloat. That's coming up after these headlines. Grubhub is working on an all-stock deal with the Dutch food delivery company Just Eat Takeaway. The two are now close to a deal that would value Grubhub at $70 a share. But any agreement would mean that Grubhub was turning its back on weeks of talks with Uber, which we reported about last month. The conversations between Uber and Grubhub came to a head over various issues, including who should shoulder the bulk of the antitrust risk. On Tuesday night, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said it was time to start volume production on Tesla's long-promised all-electric semi-truck. And a day later, on Wednesday, investors pushed the company's stock past $1,000 a share for the first time ever. Tesla's valuation is now even closer to that of Toyota, which is the world's largest automaker by market value. The news comes just a day after the electric car startup Nikola briefly surged past Ford, and the overall investment enthusiasm indicates a bright future for electric vehicles, and a belief that the future of ground transportation could be powered by batteries and not gas. Twitter and Square CEO Jack Dorsey has announced that his companies will honor Juneteenth as a holiday. Juneteenth is the annual celebration to commemorate the end of slavery in the U.S. that takes place on June 19th. Dorsey's action puts him in line with a slew of American corporations who've announced new financial and structural measures to support racial justice in recent weeks. And that includes Amazon. The e-commerce giant said on Wednesday that it would ban police from using its facial recognition software for the next year. The company said it hoped Congress would use this time to implement stronger regulations for using the technology more, quote, ethically. Speaking of Amazon, it's been struggling to keep up with online orders placed during the pandemic, and some smaller rivals have tried to use the opportunity to step up. But do they stand a chance? That's coming up after the break. At the beginning of the coronavirus shutdowns in the U.S., everyone was flocking to the big e-commerce platforms and buying them out of essentials. If you went on Amazon, you might have had trouble finding toilet paper or hand sanitizer, at least at a reasonable price. Amazon responded and hired nearly 200,000 workers to help with distribution. But how have smaller e-commerce platforms fared? Our reporter Sebastian Herrera followed one startup, the organic food platform Thrive Market, as it tried to keep up with the influx of orders. And he joins us now. Sebastian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So to start, for those who aren't familiar, what is Thrive Market?
So Thrive Market operates an online grocery store. And basically, it has like a Costco-like membership. So you pay a yearly subscription fee of $60, or you can also pay quarterly or monthly. And that gives you access to shop on their website. And they offer that subscription to what they say to make prices lower and basically sell them at wholesale. It's a very organic type of store. So if you can imagine like Whole Foods kind of being online, that's kind of what they're going after, except that they don't have any physical stores. They just deliver products from their warehouses. It began in 2014. That's when it was launched, and it's just grown since then and kind of become a player in the online food commerce world, which out of everything that we've seen with the pandemic in terms of growing e-commerce, grocery has been the largest part of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, grocery delivery was already happening, but obviously a lot of people were concerned about going into stores and they had to keep the food coming. How did the early days of the pandemic impact Thrive?
So it was really interesting because it was a lot like it impacted Amazon. They saw a huge influx of orders. People were ordering at five times what they could handle, and it caused a huge backup as well. I mean, one example that the CEO, Nick Green, gave me is they had a 6-month supply of toilet paper, meaning like what they would expect to sell in 6 months, sold out in 3 days.
And was it just those kind of staple supplies that everyone was stocking up on? Or did they also see a huge growth in food delivery, regular food?
It was really across the board, but it was mainly like what you would consider essential products or food that people would stock up on. So a lot of canned good items, a lot of flour, as everyone knows by now, like flour was a very popular product to buy during, you know, as people kind of started panic buying. And of course, just hand sanitizer, paper towels, that sort of stuff. It became so overwhelming that they decided basically we're going to not sell items that aren't very popular right now. So they would sell like yoga mats and water bottles, and they decided to just completely take those off the site, partly so that they could just focus on the high demand products, but also because those lower demand products are actually like in the back of their warehouses. And like they were literally just trying to save those minutes of workers in the warehouses walking back to the back of the warehouses to pick those items. So it was that kind of like, you know, every minute counted, basically.
And I think that brings us to a really important question. We said in the beginning, Amazon was able to hire 200,000 workers at the drop of a hat. What do these smaller e-commerce platforms do? Are they able to leverage workers in the same way?
Yeah, it was similar in terms of scale. I mean, Amazon hired a little bit less than 200,000. It was 175,000. But Thrive also ramped up their hiring, and they hired more people than they've ever hired in terms of their warehouses. They have two warehouses, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. And they said that they had to hire more than 300 workers in less than 2 months. They were hiring as many as 30 workers a day, and they had to do things that they had never done before, like pay several recruiting agencies to find workers as soon as possible and just speed up like that hiring process. Like before the pandemic hit, they had about 500 warehouse workers, and then they added 300 in a matter of, you know, less than 2 months. So they, you know, almost doubled like what they had before, which just kind of shows like the demand that they were seeing and how much they were scrambling just to be able to get orders out of their warehouses and just fix the backlog that they themselves were also seeing, much like Amazon.
Let's talk a little bit about profit margins. I know that we saw companies like Amazon, but also big box stores like Target and Walmart see sales go up, but actually their profit margins got hit because they were selling a lot of products that didn't have a huge profit margin, like toilet paper, for example, that are also quite expensive to ship. How has that extra shipping payments impacted Thrive? How did they see this impact their profit margin?
So the main thing that they share with me on that aspect is that the higher costs they saw in terms of fulfillment and shipping and all that reduced the percentage of profit made on orders. So basically the amount of money in terms of like percentage wise that they were making on orders went down, and they had to use some of their cash reserves to basically pay for the spike in inventory and costs associated with this. So just think about ordering more products than you've ever ordered before, obviously adding a bunch of warehouse workers. Now, they say that that was largely like offset by the increase in sales that they saw. In March, it was, you know, 90% increase. And in May, it's been about 110% increase. So all in all, they say that the business is in good shape, but they certainly had to like use money from their cash reserves, and they weren't, you know, making as much money in terms of percentage wise on each order. So they certainly felt that hit as well in that regard.
Yeah. And you mentioned before that this is a membership company. I mean, people have Amazon Prime memberships, but for an entire year, I'm sure as they're getting a whole bunch of new orders, they're also trying to struggle to make sure that people who've been customers for a while stay on board.
Yeah, that was part of the hardship for them is there were some customers that were, of course, upset about how long their orders were taking, which in some cases, customers I spoke to was basically around 2 weeks or maybe a little bit over that, which is much greater than the two or so days that they would usually expect. Sometimes even within 24 hours for some customers, they were used to getting their packages. And a lot of members didn't understand why they were taking on new members, even though they were seeing an increase in surge and obviously struggling to kind of, you know, fix that. And so what Nick Green, the CEO, told me is, you know, all in all, with what they tried to do, which is basically, in his perspective, be as transparent as possible by having this like daily blog that they would put out on how things were going, by him sending emails himself to customers and appearing on videos on social media, kind of describing the problems. He felt that like that really helped out in terms of keeping customers that were maybe, you know, somewhat upset. And he said that the rate of customers that left after 1 month, which is when they can leave without having to take on the cost of the whole year. So basically you have like a 1 month window to cancel, that rate stayed the same. And the company said that they gained more than 100,000 members, you know, since March. They have more members right now, they said, that they've ever had. So I guess they see that as a positive all in all, even given the kind of frustrations that some customers expressed.
I guess the big question here is, I mean, Thrive is an interesting story, but we kind of want to look at how all of these smaller e-commerce platforms did over time. They really wanted to compete with Amazon and Whole Foods. At the end of the day, did the pandemic give Thrive and some of the other smaller e-commerce platforms a real shot at doing that?
Yes, that was what was interesting with the story, is that Thrive was really representative of a lot of smaller e-commerce players and Amazon rivals. And it just showed how difficult it was that even when Amazon was struggling, that they themselves too were struggling as well. Thrive is not, you know, alone in this. You know, there's even some websites that had to shut down entire like deliveries because they couldn't kind of handle the overwhelming amount. And so I think going forward, what's been kind of made clear so far is that online commerce is going to grow. And for companies like Thrive, they're betting that growth that they've seen will continue, and that getting through kind of the rough spots of dealing with all this demand after having kind of gone through that they can continue growing. The interesting thing that will take place in the next few years is that a lot of people are expecting Amazon to be even stronger through this. And certainly like, their stock has been at like record highs, even as they've struggled, because again, like the bigger picture is online commerce has basically been accelerated. So if you really bet on that as a company, you certainly, a lot of companies have received a boost in that way. Most people are expecting just for that to continue to grow. And, you know, the competition will be, you know, even fiercer in some ways with Amazon than it's ever been.
All right. Our reporter, Sebastian Herrera, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.